Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Well, it's the story that won't go away, unfortunately for the NBA, Rob. And I don't think it's going away anytime soon. But it is the NBA versus China. And there are so many developments that have occurred since we were on the show yesterday. First of all, we knew yesterday that China canceled the NBA Cares event that the Brooklyn Nets were going to do, right? Well, they also canceled the Lakers NBA Cares event today. They also are tearing down, or maybe they've torn them down, all down now by this point. But today they were tearing down NBA banners all throughout the city that were promoting the game.
You're not shocked by any of this, are you?
No, I'm just sharing it with everyone so people know what's going on. 11 of the 13 Chinese companies that had sponsorship deals with NBA China, 11 of the 13, Rob, have severed ties. On top of that, usually when an NBA player or a team goes to visit China, and that happens every year, every summer, there are thousands of fans following them around throughout the city.
I was going to say, did you see the bus when LeBron and them showed up?
Dozens. From thousands down to, was it even that?
Was it less than dozens?
Was it a dozen?
It might have been. It might have been a baker's dozen. It might have been 13
really?
People out there.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Because I didn't see it. I read about that.
Oh, yeah. The video was shocking, Chris.
Less than
shocking.
Two dozen.
Shocking.
And
here's the other part.
Reportedly, they were covering their faces.
Yes, they didn't want to be on camera. You know, they were afraid to be on camera, so they were covering their faces. They didn't want people to know that they came out there. That's how.
Well, I think, Rob, there is an excellent chance that nobody is at those games tomorrow and Saturday when the Lakers play the Nets. Nobody. Maybe you'll get those dozen people, those 13 people, those baker's dozen there. Maybe. But this is China. You can lose your job. You can have your assets cut if you go run afoul of the government. And if the government is like, we don't want anybody at these games, you going to the game?
I don't think you're going to the game because they might have pictures of all the people who went and whatnot. And they want to embarrass the NBA. They're flexing their muscles saying, hey, we don't care who that guy is. You guys didn't denounce him. You guys did whatever. I think that there's a chance that and Chris, you know what my solution is? Is if I'm the NBA, I'm not going to be embarrassed. It's already been a bad situation and embarrassing for the league. I would pull the plug on the game. I wouldn't wait for them to not show up and embarrass the league. I'd do it the other way around. Thank you very much. We're going to pack up and we're going to leave the country. That's what
I'm
with
you. Seriously. I'm with you. I'm out of there. Oh, you don't want us? Okay, we're gone. You don't have to tell us twice.
No.
We're the ones with the global superstars. And here's there was an article in the Wall Street Journal today where the writer, I can't remember his name, but in fact, I have it right here. His name is Holman Jenkins.
Okay.
Holman Jenkins Jr. And he wrote that the NBA, he thinks the NBA has enough leverage where they could really force China's hand. I don't agree.
I don't agree with that at all.
Let me give you his little viewpoint.
Wow.
He feels like, look, the NBA has a monopoly on the best players in the world. There's no way China will ever match a league like the NBA, never be able to create these types of players. their fans are rabid about the NBA. They got 500 million viewers, you know, that watch the NBA every year. They love the game. And he thinks that that could be leveraged. I'm with you. I don't agree. I think even I do believe their fans would miss the NBA and really, you know, be heartbroken if they can't watch it. But I don't think they would say anything.
I don't think they're going against their voices. Exactly. To be able to do that, and I'm with you 100%. Maybe he might be right. I don't know, but I don't see it that way. I'm with you. They would miss it, obviously, but there'd be another situation where the NBA should take the initiative and not wait.
Now, are you saying they should sever their deals with China?
I'm just saying they should leave now. Right, just leave. It doesn't mean that you can't, get a relationship after time goes by or maybe some time. But for right now, I would leave.
I agree.
And if you leave and cancel the game, trust me, it'll be a while before you have any relationship with China. So they gotta figure something out.
They have to figure something out because right now, like the CCTV, China Central Television, it has post or canceled the preseason games, but right now they're scheduled to air NBA games other than the Rockets, who they've already canceled. And so they've got to talk soon, but if I'm the NBA, I'm getting out now and then I'm dealing with them over the phone or however, you know, we'll deal with it from when we're back in the United States and we'll figure out what we're going to do with this TV. But you right now, China's bullying them.
Right.
They're pulling all the sponsorships. They're canceling the games. They're canceling the charitable events. They've already canceled the Rockets on just about everything.
But that's and you said it. They're taking banners down. This is what you do. They weren't happy with the tweet, and you can't take it back, Chris. You could delete it, but you can't take it back.
Right.
And they should have understood that this was going to be – I'm talking about the league once – it got to that point that they had a firestorm on their hands and they have to figure out, you know, which way, how do they want to look? Do you want to say, well, we held up our end of the bargain. We came and played in front of an empty arena.
And then we're going to go back with our tails stuck
between our legs. Do you know what I'm saying?
You got some of your biggest stars over there and they just nobody in the arena. So I agree with you on that. And I'll say this, I said it yesterday with Adam Silver, his statement. You know, he did defend freedom of speech, which is more than most of these companies that deal with China do. Like Nike.
Yeah, but only after he got pushback.
Yeah, but at least he did it.
He did.
I'm not trying to praise him, but
yeah,
I'm giving him more credit. Like Nike, they had a designer who designed a shoe a year ago that, you know, they were selling in Japan, but the designer had put something on Instagram that was pro Hong Kong, similar to Daryl Morey.
Mm-hmm.
And Nike, you know, once it came out and the Chinese, you know, got upset about it, Nike just pulled the shoe, apologized and pulled the shoe. You know, Marriott fired an employee who had run afoul of China and kept it moving. You know, so a lot of these companies, they apologized and fired the guy. A lot of these companies in America they're getting bullied by China, but they're not in the public eye like the NBA is. And speaking of that public eye, Rob, Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich, two of the most outspoken coaches the two most outspoken coaches in the league, probably the two most outspoken people in sports, coaches, when it comes to criticizing President Trump, right?
Would you agree? And Alex Cora. The manager of the Red Sox, you remember?
Yeah.
Over what went down in Puerto Rico.
Exactly.
And remember, he didn't go to the White House and he made it public. So I'd say he's another guy who was at least out front about it. He didn't just say, well, I'm not going. He said why he wasn't going.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that's another guy. Three of those guys.
Anyway, Donald Trump today, we figured that he might weigh in, Rob. A lot of people have been critical of Kerr and Popovich for not really saying anything about this. being that they're so critical of Trump. Here's what Donald Trump said about the coaches suddenly holding their tongue.
The Chinese are wrong to be putting pressure on the NBA, sir.
Well, the NBA is a different thing. I mean, I watch this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He didn't know how to answer the question. And he'll talk about the United States very badly. I watched Popovich, sort of the same thing, but he didn't look quite as scared, actually. But they talk badly about the United States, but when it talks about China, they don't want to say anything bad. I thought it was pretty sad, actually.
So are you okay?
It'll be very interesting. Excuse me?
Are you okay, then, with the Chinese government pressuring the NBA over Hong Kong?
They have to work out their own situation. The NBA is, they know what they're doing, but I watched the way that, like, Kerr and Popovich and some of the others were pandering to China, and yet to our own country, it's like they don't respect it. I said, what a difference. Isn't it sad? It's very sad. To me, it's very sad.
Well, it's funny because Trump didn't say anything when he asked him about China. Where was your strong comments?
It's right. China.
He didn't say anything. Oh, they got to work out their differences. No! Answer the question. Did he answer the question to you?
No.
He didn't.
He used it as an opportunity to criticize Kerr and Popovich.
Exactly.
Which you knew was coming, and he couldn't wait, I'm sure. You know?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Yes.
Did you see what happened last night in the NBA?
Yes.
Outside, forget China. It happened in a preseason game.
So does it really count if it's in a preseason game?
This counts. Okay. This counts. Trust. Ben Simmons hit his first three-pointer, the first three-pointer of his NBA career.
He's never made
wow.
one in a preseason?
Never made an NBA three-pointer.
Now, I know he doesn't take many. How many has he taken in his career, dude? Do you
in
have that number?
In his career, I will tell you in a moment.
I'm just curious because I know he doesn't take many.
He's played 2 years, and he is 0-17.
Okay.
From three.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he took that many.
Yeah, I was going to say 0-7. I just don't see him taking threes.
But I tell you what, and we saw the Instagram post, you know, of him shooting jump shot. I mean, he was actually like pulling up like Kevin Durant at the mid-range and for 15 and 18 footers. And I was like, well, who's he playing against, you know? But he looked good on Instagram, and I say that somewhat facetiously, but it's true. I mean, that, you know, that's how it is nowadays. But he took it in the game, in the preseason game. He hit it. Joel Embiid mobbed him because obviously Philadelphia's so happy that he even took a three, Rob. And that's my thing.
2-0 Dodgers.
It's not just that he hit the three, but he took it. And this is big. This is huge for the Philly. I'm telling you, people might think you're making too much out of it. I'm not saying he's going to shoot 40% from three. But if he is just taking the shots and you can no longer just completely get back in the paint and leave him alone, you know, and give him 10 feet on the perimeter, I think that is huge for the Philadelphia 76ers. And if he's actually hitting a decent percentage of them, then it really gets big because Ben is a tremendous player. That's really his only weakness. And you team him with Joel Embiid. Now if Ben can stay on the perimeter, Embiid can get back in the post in the fourth quarter. I think this will be big. In fact, I'm going to say this. I know everybody likes Milwaukee, and I like Milwaukee too. But if Simmons is just taking outside shots and it becomes routine, not that he's hitting a ton, but he's just, it's no longer like it was the first 2 years and he is an absolute, you know, afraid of taking shots outside of the paint, I think Philadelphia will win the East.
Just off of that.
Yep.
Because
wow. they got him, they got Joel Embiid, who I think is going to be a serious. I haven't made my preseason predictions yet, but I think Embiid is a serious MVP threat. And then you got Tobias Harris. Remember they picked up Al Horford? And Josh Richardson's a nice little two-guard, can shoot the ball, athletic. Man, I think Philly, again, if Ben is shooting decently and just attempting shots from outside, I think they will be the best team in the East.
Yeah, I mean, I expect them to be in the mix for the East. But I still will take Milwaukee as the best team in the East. I'm not buying into Philadelphia is going to overtake Milwaukee. I still will take Milwaukee. Maybe they won't be as dominant, Chris, and win as many games as they did a year ago, but I still think they'll be better than Philly.
Remember, Philly came, what, a four bounces on the rim, 3-point shot from the corner, first game seven buzzer beater in NBA history from advancing. You remember that?
Right.
Against Toronto. They played Toronto tougher than anybody, which surprised me because I have not been that impressed with Philadelphia in the past in the playoffs. And I think the one team that's got their number is Boston just because Brad Stevens is he typically outcoaches Brett Brown. But I think the two front runners in the East are Milwaukee and Philly. Boston will be pretty good.
They'll
in
be
the mix.
In the mix.
And then you got Brooklyn. Like, I think those are the top four, unless I'm really missing somebody off the top of my head. But I think those are clearly the top four teams in the East. And I tell you what, I don't think Toronto's going away. They can't win the championship, and they can't even win the East. But they're going to have to be reckoned with, and Indiana, well, if they get Oladipo back at any point, could be all right. But East, not what the West is, I'll tell you that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I guess Jeremy Fowler, he wrote the story, so I guess he is the one that asked. 25 NFL executives around the league, of course. He asked coaches, scouts, and front office people. For one game, if you've got to win one game, what quarterback would you choose? Not all time, but in the league today, what quarterback would you choose? I'll give you a guess who won going away.
Well, it's the obvious in the room. I get it. Tom Brady.
You sound like you would pick Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, if it's from the standpoint, from the standpoint that he's won six Super Bowls, how are they not going to pick Tom Brady? That would be shocking if they picked anybody else. So I don't.
It's not shocking that they picked Tom Brady, but it is shocking that you picked Tom Brady.
I'm just saying. I think if that's your because it's not saying how to win the game, right? Does it say that? Or does it say
win the game?
That's what I'm saying.
That's so it. Win
so
the
you
game.
Could set up a kicker, Adam Vinatieri. Can you drive the ball down?
Don't get back up.
No,
from it
I'm
now.
Just I'm just saying
win the game.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's a if you do that because the same guys, and I'm not saying it was the same exact people. Before the season started, the same people, despite Tom Brady coming off a six Super Bowl, despite Tom Brady having won six Super Bowls, they picked Aaron Rodgers as the best quarterback, most executives, despite all that Tom Brady had done, because I think it's a different question. Do you
I
see
don't
what
think
I'm saying?
Anybody right now thinks Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback. I wouldn't say
I'm just
anybody.
I'm just saying
he'd win that right now. Best
I'm
quarterback.
Just,
in the
I'm
league.
Just saying going into this season when they did that poll.
Well, that was a different. It may have been different people for all we know.
No.
Anonymous.
I'm just saying. But, yeah, it was different. I'm not saying it's the same exact people because it was like 50 something people.
It was a different publication.
But it's the way.
Too.
Yeah, the way. How do you go from that to you don't want him to win the game for you?
I'm just asking. I'm surprised you picked Tom. I'm asking you.
I would.
If you had one game to win, you said you would pick Tom Brady?
I said that I'm not surprised that they picked Tom Brady.
I'm asking
coming
you.
Coming off of that. I guess we could pick Tom Brady if that'll make you feel good.
No, I mean, it actually would make me feel better if you didn't so I could pounce on you.
No, just do whatever, do whatever
really?
You want to do. I would pick
really?
Tom Brady, yep.
You in one game to win. I know the callers. I know Max and Georgia are fainting. Rob Parker, if he had one NFL game to win, he could choose any quarterback in the 32-team NFL.
Trust the process.
Heard him. He would pick 42-year-old Thomas Brady.
Tom Brady could do that.
Could do that.
If you ask me if I wanted to pick a quarterback to have to get a touchdown at the end, it would be totally different.
Don't back off
I'm just
now.
Telling you, I'm not backing. I just told you.
I don't care.
You could argue with yourself.
Count.
I told
field
you.
Field goals count.
I told
so it
you.
Matter.
It's totally
touchdown,
different. No, it's
safety,
not.
Safety, field goal,
Tom
whatever,
Brady is the expert
to win
at
the
setting,
game.
Is that expert at setting up for a guy to kick a field goal to win the game. He's done it his whole career. So
that's
I would
fine.
Pick Tom Brady.
I don't care.
I'm just saying. I would pick Tom Brady.
Wow. Lee, Alex, are you guys as shocked as I am?
I don't know what to say right now.
It's either I'm stunned.
I'm shook.
Either that or Rob just didn't want to go to war today. Didn't want to battle. Well, let me go here, Rob. I would pick Brady too. Even at 42, I thought about Patrick Mahomes, but he's too young. Not yet. Not yet. Too young. I would go with Brady. But here's the interesting thing was this, Rob. So Brady won going away with 14 votes. Second with 7 votes was Patrick Mahomes. Interesting that, you know, I think he's the best quarterback in the league. Surprised that in his second year as a starter that he finished second in just one game. And then third was Russell Wilson with 2 votes. It's hard to argue with that. He's an awesome player. And then Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees got 1 apiece. I'm stunned that Aaron Rodgers didn't get a vote. I mean, not a vote, some votes. Are you surprised by that, Rob?
I just don't know what to make of it because Ben Roethlisberger, I don't see that. I just don't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He won his Super Bowls a while ago, and at least the first one wasn't the driving force.
No, he was terrible in the first Super Bowl, Chris, at Detroit. I covered it. I mean, if you go back and look at his stats, what did he do in that one? I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I really don't because, Ben, I was just surprised by that, especially of late. I mean, they've played the Patriots in a lot of big playoff games, nothing.
Right.
I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Aaron, it's interesting, and we said this in the offseason. This was the most criticism that I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers take. You know, some people blamed him for Mike McCarthy being fired. You heard people talking about he, you know, doesn't want to be coached, and he's a bad, you know, he's not the leader that some of these other, Tom Brady is and some others. You heard people say he ad-libs too much. You know, he wants to make the big play rather than the easy throw. And I had him second. I got Patrick Mahomes winning the MVP. That was my prediction. And I had Rodgers second and the biggest challenger. I don't think right now Rodgers is not there, but the team is looking good, 4-1. I'm surprised, but the fact is he doesn't have those types of numbers, you know, as far as comebacks. He's like tied for 53rd all time in game-winning drives.
I've covered him, and I've seen him win 3 games on big Hail Mary throws 60 yards in Detroit. I've seen him do
well,
come
you
back.
You saw a lot of his, because he's only got 20.
Yeah, I've seen
Brady's got twice as many.
I've seen a lot
more
of them.
More than twice as many.
Yeah, I've
44.
I've seen a lot of them, so I don't know. I don't know what
he's not ranked, but that's not a lot.
I just don't know what to make of the poll and who they talk to. I just doesn't sound right. That's all.
I'm surprised.
It doesn't sound right to me and like some of the people that are on the list. Really? Like the Ben is probably the most shocking.
I'm not shocked at all by Brees. In fact, I would think Brees would have more than one. Not shocked by Russell Wilson.
That's what I'm saying.
Even though he's got that huge gaffe, you know, that cost him the Super Bowl.
Right.
Ben, yeah, I would not have Ben in my top 5. He would not have gotten a vote. Aaron, yeah, it's interesting, but
it's 3-0 Dodgers. Wow.
Yeah.
It's
looks
done.
Like
Strasburg doesn't have it. He doesn't have.
So you got to get. Saying him, it's over now?
I would take him out.
Oh, did they take him out yet?
No. He just hit it. But I'm saying it's obvious he doesn't have it, and you can't, out of respect for him. You know what I mean, Chris? Like you can't. You can't say, well, we're going to leave him in and let him pitch. I think it's obvious he doesn't have it. Like the first two innings have been three balls hit out, almost out of the park. So if I'm Washington, you can't get behind pretty much any more than you are.
Right. 3-0 is still manageable.
It's still manageable, but you can't allow him to give up another run.
Wow.
See, he's not taking
out. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah. This is a guy.
I was worried having picked the Dodgers. I was worried. I mean, look, it's early.
It's still early.
We'll
game's not over, but yeah.
But on the flip side, Bueller, man. Bueller is looks like he's becoming a big game pitcher. You got to give him credit. Again, it's early, but he looked great in game one.
Right.
And if he can be that guy, then I think they do have a pretty – I mean, look, they're going to have their hands full in the World Series if they get there. But
the Dodgers are doing what they're doing,
well,
right.
Then they should – if he's throwing at his best, they should be able to get through the National League.
Yeah, no. The Dodgers are a favorite in the National
League. I mean, if they
absolutely
got the Cardinals coming up, you know, you don't want to take them lightly, but they should be able to win that series. But – yeah, so but back to the topic, Rob. I just think, you know, it just you're seeing, and you're right, the Athletic did that poll of 55 executives, coaches, executive scouts, and they had Aaron Rodgers as the best quarterback in the league. I think now most people would probably say Pat Mahomes, but it should be a chip on Rodgers' shoulder. And I give him credit, he's not forcing stuff yet. And maybe he won't. Hopefully he won't. But he's not forcing anything yet this season. And so they're 4-1. They're running the ball well. The defense is playing well. And he's doing what he's got to do. So if he wins the Super Bowl, it'll be a he'll be silencing the naysayers. But there are more doubters than ever on Aaron Rodgers, yeah, as far as I can see.
All I'm doing is I think you got to give it some time. Let it breathe. And it's hard to argue with winning, and that's the biggest thing. If they were losing and Aaron was playing like this, I think that it would totally be different.
Oh, it'd be – no, right. he'd be getting criticized
right.
heavily.
And if they're winning and you just happen to be the quarterback and you got a guy who rushed for four rushing touchdowns, you know, four touchdowns in a game, I don't think that happens too often. I know it, I think the Cowboys had never
first
given
time
up,
it ever happened. Right? Guy, look, if Aaron Rodgers, let's say he plays this way throughout the year, 260 yards a game, you know, say 25 touchdowns, whatever he ends up with, and they win the Super Bowl, he'll get his credit. You know what I mean? Even if it's, say, Aaron Jones or somebody's the MVP of the Super
right.
Bowl, you just like Brady, and you know, I'm not one that's going to say, oh, he didn't throw a touchdown, he doesn't get credit. No. You quarterback the team to the Super Bowl. You get the credit, especially when you're a great quarterback. I don't care if he doesn't throw for 300 yards a game this year. He's an all-time great quarterback. All he's got to do is win more, even if he's not the driving force. That's my thought.
Right.
So let's see what do you guys think? 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. You heard Rob Parker. I hope you racked that out, Alex.
It's going to be in our next intro, Chris.
Yes, good. Rob Parker, of all people, agreed with the bulk of executives who were polled by ESPN and myself that if I had one game to win, I'm going with the 42-year-old Tom Brady at quarterback. Who would you go with? And all you Max, all you other guys out here, all you Rob Parker psychophants.
Rob Parker.
Are you disappointed? He picked Brady. Tom Brady could do that, Rob Parker said.
Tom Brady could do that.
Tom Brady could do that.
Rob Parker said that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are bringing in the columnist for USA Today, Bob Nightingale. Bob, welcome to the iCouple.
Hey, Bob.
How you guys doing? Hey, Chris. Hey, Rob.
We're great. I hate to almost even ask you about this game tonight with the Cardinals and the Braves, but are you surprised? Obviously, I'm sure you didn't expect 13-1, but how do you kind of – what do you think happened and why the Braves just kind of fold like this?
Well, you never know with the starting pitcher. I mean, Foltynewicz had pitched so well before and just fell apart. You hate to say he choked, but certainly it was a pressure game. And he's going against, L.A. kid Jack Flaherty. Flaherty's been unbelievable. As much as we talk about Verlander and Gerrit Cole, this guy's been just as good the second half. There was no way in the world they were going to beat him twice.
Hey, Bob, in a situation like this, this has happened before. I think the Braves beat the Cardinals right in a game 7, 15-0 in a game. So this happens once in a while. It's a buzzkill for people wanting to see an exciting game, final and deciding game of a series. But we have seen this before.
Yeah, I was at that series, Rob, and I remember after Game 5, Dennis Eckersley is pitching for the Cardinals, and he's doing all these kind of wild gestures. And I remember the Braves being so upset about that and say, you know what, we'll get them back. And Sherholtz, John Schultz, the GM, went livid. And sure enough, they just killed them both games. And so you kind of wonder here with Acuna, remember doing the slash and the
yes.
throw type thing?
Yeah.
After when you kind of wonder, you know what? I wonder if that was a little bit of motivation here. It's unbelievable what they've done.
Hey, Bob, yeah. Let me just jump right in, Chris, again. Of all the other series, the one that was surprising to me, because the other three all go in 5 games, but the Yankees sweeping the Twins. I thought the Yankees would beat them. But I was surprised, Bob, and I know the Yankees have their number, but I thought this Twins team was different. What happened?
It's unbelievable. They just have their number, and I think, the pitching wasn't there. And it's almost like they're intimidated before it started. I was at that series. It was god-awful. And, just one-sided about every game. But talking to a couple of those guys, including Tony Oliva, Rock Carew, the Hall of Famer, and Torrey Hunter, and they talked to those guys before the game, so you guys, hit 307 home runs for the season. And during the playoffs, you got to do the little things. Put the ball in play. Don't just sit back and swing for the fences. And they did the same thing again. So I think that whole offensive approach got them down.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today joining the iCouple. Bob, Buehler was strong in game 1. Strasburg is just pretty much strong throughout the playoffs, throughout his career. Which one do you like better tonight in game 5?
I like Buehler. Buehler reminds
really?
Me of, Buehler and Jack Flaherty are the same. Just a tough kid. You want him under pressure, a real, real confident kid. Strasburg, I know he's had a great postseason. He's always had that reputation of not being there for the big game. You remember he called himself out a couple of years ago, and then finally pitched for Dusty Baker whenever he was jumping on him. Like, he didn't feel well he was going to pitch. He finally right. did pitch. And then, the fact he did not pitch in the playoffs, I know they shut him down that year, but it might have cost the Nationals a World Series that year. So we'll see. Strasburg hasn't had a great game. I mean, his image there will be, unbelievable, change forever. Yeah. But I like Buehler a lot.
I just think, Bob, his 0.64 ERA in the postseason, only Sandy Koufax has a lower one, and I know it's a minimum of 4 starts, but I don't know. I think he's come up big. It's a big spot, and I think it's hard. I think it's hard for the Dodgers to make the World Series 3 years in a row, especially when you haven't won one. I don't think they're going to make it.
I mean, I still like him tonight. I think it'll be a good game. And I do believe whoever wins this game tonight will beat the Cardinals. And I would have said that if the Braves had won, too. I think clearly the Dodgers are the best team in the National League.
No doubt.
It'll be a massive upset, one of the biggest upsets in the last 10, 15 years in baseball. So I still like their chances, and they're still the deepest, most talented team in the National League. you know, and once again, once you get the World Series, they're going to be underdogs. I don't care if you're playing, you know, Houston or
the Yankees
Yankees.
Maybe Tampa Bay. Yeah. You think they would be underdogs
to the Rays? They'd be favored over Tampa
Bay. Yeah, over Tampa they would be.
Maybe favorite over Tampa.
Right.
Bob, away from the playoffs, Joe Girardi going to interview with the Mets and the Cubs. Which one of those do you think is a better fit for him?
I think the Mets are a great fit. I don't see him with the Cubs. You know, I've been around the Cubs a lot. I really have never heard his name being a strong candidate. I know they're going to interview him.
He's from Chicago, right?
Yeah, Northwestern and everything else. I think it's going to David Ross. If it's not going to David Ross, it's going to Mark Loretta. Some guy without experience. I think Girardi or Showalter is a perfect fit with the Mets because the Mets are built to win right now, and they need someone with experience. So I think the Mets, you know, they can talk about, you know, Ibanez or Beltran, whoever you want, but they have to get an experienced manager.
And the other thing is when you're talking about managers, I mean, all the old guard, I mean, there aren't that many jobs for those guys anymore. Dusty, I can't see him. Socha, John Farrell. I mean, there's a lot of guys who have done a lot of stuff in baseball that doesn't look like they're going to get another opportunity. If Girardi gets one, he's a little younger, but he would be one of the old guard. And Madden, I could see him getting a job only because of where he's, you know, if he goes to the Angels. But if you're an old manager, your days are probably done for the most part, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, nowadays it's like everybody wants to, you know, front office just make out a lineup before you even show up to your office desk.
Right.
They're telling you, who to warm up, who to put in, that sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, it's a travesty. Dusty Baker doesn't have 2,000 wins. I mean, it was a joke. The Nationals fired him after winning back-to-back division titles. So, but you're right. I mean, now he's, you know, up in age a little bit. So, unlikely he comes back. But yeah, the old school's all, you know, being run out now. I mean, there's a reason why Bruce Bochy said before the season he knows he wasn't their guy. It's a whole new regime in there. So, you know, really the last guy left is kind of Terry Francona, the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, he's just about the only one. All these other guys are no experience, TV guys, and like you say, Bob, guys who are willing to take the lineup carved from the front office and not say anything.
Right, right. And some of these guys, I bet 75% of the managers out there, maybe even 90%, have as much as to do with their starting lineup as the three of us do.
What?
I mean, it's already done for them. All they do is, you know, they talk to the media and that kind of stuff and make sure they have a good clubhouse, but the front offices are running the show.
Bob, I'm sure you've talked to some of those guys, those managers off the record. Like, what is the general feeling? I mean, that can't be fun.
No, but it's a job. You know, it's your still a marquee job, and I think some guys are disgusted by it. And but, yeah, if you don't want to do it, they'll find a whole bunch of guys that will. So that's just the way of the world right now. And but, yeah, I'm being serious about this. I'm not sure there's five guys in the game today that are making up their own lineup. I think it's all done before they even show up.
And what
I'm
about
talking about all these teams in the playoffs.
What about the in-game decisions? Bullpen, you know, taking pitchers out, lineup changes. How much of that do you think is coming from the front office down to the dugout?
I think, you know, 95%, 98%. You know, I think, remember when the Dodgers had, you know, Rich Hill was pitching well? It was almost like they didn't calculate the formula. Well, Rich Hill's throwing a no-hitter or, you know, pitching lights out.
And they took him out.
It was all pre-orchestrated. So, you know, I don't know why Dave Roberts has to answer his questions. It should be all the analytics guys down there, too.
Right.
But we were talking to Bruce Bochy about a month ago. You know, he says, you know, these analytic people have all these crazy ideas. And so Bruce says, hey, how about this? Next time I take one of your ideas, let's put your name on your face on the scoreboard. And then after the game, you sit there, you answer the questions in media. I won't have to do it.
Exactly.
Right.
That would
right.
be great. All right, Bob.
That's a great point.